Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border, and we're going through the book of Proverbs. We're in chapter 12 and verse 1, and boy, you know, it just keeps popping up before my face, the whole time that we live in and the monetary system and the contracts that we've been caused to enter into to receive that identifying number and mark of ownership with that world system we've entered into voluntarily, though most of us were deceived into it. Just seems that, I hope that His Holy Spirit is convicting hearts out there, because I think it would be a wonderful thing if, people just by the masses, started pulling out of it and, not participating, of repenting of participation in that ungodly thing. I think it would be a good thing for the nation. And, unfortunately, this is not something you're going to hear on the, so-called alternative media networks out there. And, if I switch over to them right now, because they've all got their big, draws, shaking their usual rattle of discontent and fear. And I can go over there and see that they have thousands upon thousands of listeners on the internet alone, because that's what they're selling. But you know that behind the scenes, this being, May 5th, I know that they all rushed about 20 days ago to get their, inquisition forms in, so to report to their master, who they made their master by signing an agreement one day and getting an identifying mark and number. Yes, you make them your master because you're saying to them, I am incompetent. I cannot take care of myself. I cannot manage my own affairs. So, Massa, you be my Massa. You give me a number so that I can report everything to you, so that you can manage my life and my affairs for me. And then they wonder why Master comes and punishes them when they don't do it according to the agreement or whatever changes in the agreement. Because by that agreement, they said that I will do whatever you say, Master, and even if you change the agreement, because I'm a participant, they're my representatives, because I'm a voter, and I voted, and so whatever my representative says that can be changed in the agreement, that I agree to that. You see how it works. It's all legal, very legal and very lawful. It's because it's all done by covenant. You have covenanted with unbelievers. You have become surety for strangers. So come out of her, my people. You know, please, whatever it takes, you know, back out slowly. Like I said, there is a way. If you back out slowly, you consider carefully what you're doing, you can be made free. As Paul says that he was talking to slaves or servants. Same thing as most people were slaves or servants by agreement. If a man couldn't pay his debt, he could serve and he'd pay his debt that way. Or if a man stole, he would become a servant until he paid off restitution, which was, you know, 3 or 5 times or 7 times what he stole, whatever, and he would have to pay it off. And Paul says, well, however you got into slavery, it doesn't matter. However you became a servant, it doesn't matter. He said, slaves, serve your masters as unto the Lord, Yahuwah. He said, however, if you can be made free, rather use it. So if you have a way that you can be made free, then he says that you're to use that way to gain your liberty, to become free. And that way you can serve Yahuwah. You can serve the Lord as a free man. So that's my advice, is become free. You know, you've got yourself, you've signed a covenant, you put yourself into bondage, but you can become free. Perhaps you can't, you know, but you know, you're in it. Now, Daniel, he was a slave, but not by his choice. He was taken captive by the Babylonian army, and they placed him in the palace to serve, as a close advisor, eventually to Nebuchadnezzar and to the following rulers, because Nebuchadnezzar was overthrown. So, and Daniel served. He served his masters as unto the Lord. He really did. But any time his master required him to break God's law, he would not be budged. He would not move at all. Even if it cost him his life, he would not break God's law. Because Daniel, you know, like Yahshua, Jesus, you know, when he said, don't fear him who can kill your body, but fear him who can cast both body and soul into hell. See, Daniel feared God. I'm sure, you know, that he felt that anxiety, you know, that anxiety you feel when you see the flashing red lights behind your vehicle. I'm sure he felt that anxiety, that sudden fear. I'm sure he felt it, you know, when the police came to take him away for breaking the king's commandment by keeping the law of his God. I'm sure he felt that, but he wouldn't be moved. He wouldn't say, okay, I know God doesn't want me to die, so yeah, you know, I'll comply. No, he wouldn't be moved. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when some little Nazi, the story goes that somebody told on him, said, hey, those Hebrew boys over there. King, look! They didn't bow! I'm sure that, you know, the hair stood up on the back of their necks and they felt that feeling in the pit of their stomach that we all have felt when we see the flashing lights behind our vehicle. They felt that sudden anguish, sudden anxiety. But they wouldn't be moved. So we shouldn't be. And if we can be made free, then we should use it. And we certainly should repent if we, by ungodly covenants, have got into slavery and servitude. And we should get out as soon as we can. And I think it's a good idea. I'd like to see people get out in droves. But unfortunately, like I said, most people think, you know, especially in the corporate church, they think when the big Antichrist guy comes, that somehow that they're going to stand up and say, I will not be moved. I will not break God's law. When right now they won't do it simply because they'll lose benefits. Simply because they'll lose some benefits in this life. Simply because they trust in the riches that this world has to offer more than they trust in God. But somehow, when the big Antichrist guy comes in the future, it says, receive the mark or die. Somehow they're going to stand then. I think you have to practice righteousness to be able to stand in it. And if you're practicing, you know, breaking God's law because it's convenient or because you don't want to give up benefits, well, I wouldn't count on having the fortitude to stand in the future, because that scenario that most people hold in their minds is fictitious and is most likely never going to happen. It's the little stands in life every day, the little choices we make, where we say, oh, okay, God's law isn't that important. Certainly God would not want me to give up these benefits to keep his law. The little things. Of course, most people do a much better job of deceiving themselves, as the way I'm putting it. But basically, that's what's going on. So the people are going away in droves. They're going to listen to, what's his name, Rush Jones, or Alex Limbaugh, or somebody else who has much sweeter things to say as to the masses out there. Yes. So I was thinking of that quote by someone called a patriot. I don't know who said that. That if you would exchange liberty for security, may your chains lay lightly upon you. May posterity forget that you were our fellow countrymen. That's a little closer, as I recall it. It's about lick the boot that feeds you. Okay, Proverbs chapter 12. We'll get back into it. The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. You know, that scripture, I always keep that in the forefront of my mind. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Why? Because their counsel are deceit. You know, if perhaps they dragged me into court and they said, well, you know, you have to take court-appointed counsel. Well, I'd start asking them questions. You know, oh, are you going to be counsel for me? Are you godly counsel? Well, my law says that I am not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Sorry. Show me your law book. You know, if they don't whip out a Bible, I have to reject them because I need God's law. I need godly counsel. I'm not going to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Because the counsels of the ungodly are deceit. The words of the wicked, we read that. Okay, we'll catch up here. The wicked are overthrown and are not, but the house of the righteous shall stand. Verse 8, a man shall be commended according to his wisdom, but he that is of a perverse heart shall be despised. He that is despised and hath a servant is better than he that honoreth himself and lacketh bread. A righteous man regards the life of his beast, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread, but he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. The wicked desires the net of the evil. Well, we've been speaking a lot about nets, how they cast the net in front of you, how they cast the net in front of me, and I walked right in. Most of us did. The wicked desires the net of the evil, but the root of the righteous yieldeth fruit. The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips. It's one thing I love about the laws of this country, the laws against self-incrimination. You don't have to be snared by your own lips. You see where they got that law. You know, you have a right to not incriminate yourself. You don't have to be snared by your own lips. And it used to be that your wife couldn't even testify against you. But you know, that's no longer, they don't believe in the one flesh anymore. They threw that out the window with equality and giving women the vote, because they're no longer one, but now they're two. You know, what the heck, you know? God's law, man's law, you know? Agape in his family, or love in the idolatry of romance, you know? Yeah, they come down. Yep, that's the difference. The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. Well, hallelujah, I need to come out of all the trouble that I can. I hate getting into trouble. Let me come out. Come out of her, my people. Come out of that trouble. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands shall be rendered unto him. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. You know, this is something I've learned, is that if I'm angry, keep my mouth shut. That's right. And let it cool down. Ponder it. Sometimes for weeks, months, years. But never to act, or react, I should say. You always act, but you just don't react. You take your time, you think about things. A fool's wrath is presently known. As soon as he's angry, everyone knows about it. That's a fool. But a prudent man covereth shame. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness is deceit. But a false witness deceit. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword. Oh boy. There, you know those people. Everything they say is meant to jab and cut. They like to raise themselves up by cutting others down. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to the counselors of peace is joy. There shall no evil happen to the just, but the wicked shall be filled with mischief. Lying lips are an abomination to Yahuwah, but they that deal truly are his delight. A prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. Interesting place for a nation to be. Nationally speaking, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. Heaviness is in the heart of a man. Now, heaviness in the heart maketh it stoop. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop. It took me 3 times to get that right. Sometimes these are a little tongue twisting. It's just unusual the way that the King James English puts it. And sometimes in words and using phraseology that is unusual today. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop. And still, you know, very understandable, no doubt about what the words mean. Heaviness in the heart make of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. The righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduceth them. They are seduced by their own ways. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. You know, and that's you think, you see all these people, they become rich, they're constantly chasing after the lottery and things like that, and they get their $1 million, and within a few years they're destitute because they're slothful. They didn't get it. They didn't work for it. The substance of the diligent man is precious. Yes, everything that I have is precious. I work hard for it. That's the idea. In the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death. So the righteousness is the path to life, and that is eternal life. We all know that our flesh is going to end. It's going to die. We all have that witness. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 1. A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of transgressors shall eat violence. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. A righteous man hateth lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and cometh to shame. Righteousness keepeth him that is upright in the way, but wickedness overthrows the sinner. There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. Oh yes, you see a lot of that in the world, don't you? People work hard, become rich, they make themselves rich, yet they have nothing, because they're willing to trade everything and everyone and everything. You know, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? So there is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. The ransom of a man's life are his riches, but the poor heareth not rebuke. The light of the righteous rejoiceth, but the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. The law of the wise is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. A wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is abomination to fools to depart from evil. He that walketh with wise shall be wise. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Yes, better watch out who you're hanging out with there. Companion of fools shall be destroyed. Evil pursueth sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. And that's where we're going to have to end today. We've just run out of time. You're listening to Cross the Border. Do visit my website, crosstheborder.org. Send me an email there. Let me know what you think of these studies. Any comments, questions, whatever you have to share. I'd be glad to hear from you.